2 Chronicles 6, I'll want you to notice again, verse 19 of this text, and what it is that Solomon prays for at the dedication of the first temple. He says, Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee. Now here's the prayer. You see the colon? That thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night. Solomon said, Lord, my prayer is that as God, you will keep your eyes open and upon all that's said and all that is done at the dedication and beyond of this place, the place of prayer. In fact, that's what Jesus called it, as you know, in the Gospels. Look down the same chapter, verse 40, it says this. Now, my God, let I beseech thee, I pray, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. And again, Solomon asking God to keep watch, to keep his eyes open to his people. And of course, God responds to this prayer. He answers to Solomon's request. You'll notice chapter 7, verse 1 says, Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down, where? From heaven. Consumed that burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Verse 10 says, And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart. Merry Christmas. For the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. In other words, God was pleased with Solomon's prayer. So that not only would he keep his eyes open, not only would he keep watch over them, he had been doing so all along. And beloved, on this, the last Sunday of this year, and as we face the first Sunday of a new year, next Lord's Day, I think it would be good for all of us to remember that Solomon's prayer is actually a constant theme throughout all of Scripture. Earlier, the Lord had promised Solomon, quote, I have heard thy prayer, and mine eyes and my heart will be with thee perpetually. Psalm 34:15 says, The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Job 36:7, he withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous. I think of a servant girl who had a womb that was barren in the wilderness and alone and facing her future without hope and full of uncertainty. And she prayed to Jehovah El Roi, the Lord who sees. It was good enough for this woman to know that God sees where she's going, and what she's going to be doing. 2022 is Jehovah El Roi, the Lord who sees. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. I pray that we will understand and grasp the meaning of this theme throughout the Bible, that your eyes are upon the righteous, that they run to and fro. May we understand and appreciate it more than ever before as this new year comes to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most of you here know that one of the things parents nowadays contend with is this new dynamic, relatively new, of cell phones and texting and having smartphones. Most young people have their own cell phones these days. And of course, that presents a lot of access and freedom and a lot of vulnerability. I didn't have when I was younger. Texting involves, as you know, its own language of sorts, and especially with its abbreviations. BTW, by the way, LOL, laughing out loud, which is hyperbole. They're not really usually laughing out loud, obviously. And ROFL, they're definitely not rolling on the floor. I mean, I picture that sometimes. Andy says, ROFL, really? Are you, Andy? Are you rolling on the floor laughing out loud? And then there's TLDR, too long didn't read. Now, I've never used that one, in fairness, too long didn't read. I may have thought it a few times, but I'd never texted it. There's OIC, which you know what stands for? OIC. Yeah, I know. Some of them are dumb. You have to be careful, though. For instance, a certain lady we all know in this room thought a few years ago that LOL was an abbreviation for lots of love. And she group texted her family members and said, "Grandma suddenly died today, LOL." Well, Mom, it's so funny. If you're a parent, you don't want your kids to have a cell phone. Just tell them that you didn't get one until you were 35 years old. And just don't tell them they didn't come out until you were 35 years old. And then, of course, it brings me to this, because there are other texts that young people use. PAW, parents are watching. PIR is one they use, parents in room. Obviously, these are ones you send to your so-called friend when you want them to be discreet or you're trying to explain why you're not answering them back. MOS is another. It means mom over shoulder, which is to say mom is watching. A lot of young people are worried about being seen. Well, I have an acronym for all of us. GOS, God over shoulder. Or JER, Jehovah El Rohi. The God who sees, which in the case of Hagar and Joseph and Hannah and David, and here in our text with Solomon, we're reminded that they, unlike maybe a teenager, they wanted it so. That Solomon wanted it so. He prayed, he asked God to be watching. "Thy servant prayeth," he said, "that the eyes, thy eyes, may be opened toward this house night and day." And in light of 2022, our new year, there are three things that I want us to consider concerning the watchfulness of what Solomon calls the eyes of our God. Again, it's a common theme. It's a common theme throughout the Word of God as God's omniscience is described as his eyes running to and fro throughout the entire earth. The eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. The Father sees every sparrow, Jesus said, that falls to the ground. And so the song says, his eye is on the sparrow and I know he watches me. Three things this morning about the Christian life whereby God sees us in at least three different places. The first one you'll notice, for example, is God sees us, number one, when we are faithful. When we're faithful. Look at verse 23, would you? It says, "That thou, then hear thou from heaven and do and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head." But he also says, "And by justifying the righteous, by giving him according to his righteousness." Now, folks, I just want us all to be reminded of something this morning. I want us to be reminded that there are two sides to this matter of God seeing all that we do. Now, there's the one that we always hear about and we sing to our children, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say." And so it goes. We're teaching our children that God sees the lies and the injustices of men. You know, the very reason why Christians are admonished over and over again not to envy the wicked, not to fret ourselves because of what evildoers did in 2021, and they're definitely going to do in the next year as well, is that God, the perfect judge, sees all of it. Jeremiah 16:17, "For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes." Can you go to bed with that tonight to rest assured that, "Oh, Pastor, do you know about the Illuminati and about the Rothschilds and this?" Look, God sees it all. You don't. You think you do. But you don't. But I go to bed knowing that he does. That nobody can hide their lives, their actions from the eyes of God. They can hide their actions from us, but not the one we serve. And this is a truth we often hear about and talk about with God's omniscience. But I'm going to remind you again, this is not the only reality that's a theme in the Word of God. Solomon says in verse 23, "Give unto the righteous according to his righteousness." In other words, yes, the eyes of the Lord. Yes, they run to and fro through the whole earth. And yes, they behold the evil. But what does the verse say? What's the entire verse say? It says, "Beholding the good and the evil." Remember what Jesus said about praying and giving in Matthew 6? He said, when you give your alms, your offerings, do it in secret. Why? Thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee. I got a testimony this morning from someone who received an offering. Their church did. And nobody knows about it. Well, God does. As far as I'm concerned, that's enough. When you pray in secret, Jesus said, the Father who sees in secret shall reward thee openly. Now think about that. God wants us to know that when you do right, that when you obey His word, if nobody's watching and nobody here will ever know, when you're faithful in things that maybe no one will ever see, nobody sees or recognizes that prayer, those tears of prayer and love, that gift, the kindness, the witness, that practice, that courage, that persecution, the stand you took, that love that you exhibited, that study that you did. Nobody ever sees that sacrifice or ever saw it. You know what? Dad wasn't over your shoulder when you were trying or texting Bible verses and words of faith to someone. But God was over your shoulder. Pastor, what teenager texts the Bible verses? Well, the one that God saw do it. That one. You know, it's funny. When our children are little and they do something good, or when they do something that's praiseworthy, then they want Dad over their shoulder. Daddy, look at me. Watch. Look what I'm about to do. When they dive in the pool, or when they throw a ball, or when they sing a song, or balance on a beam, or paint a picture, or do a cartwheel. Watch. Children naturally seek affirmation and approval for doing well. And of course, what you don't ever see is a child ever say, hey, daddy, watch me kick the baby. Right? I'm going to steal another cookie, daddy. Daddy, watch. I'm going to set fire in the garage. I never told my dad when I was going to set a fire. Amen? Never. Children want to be seen. They want a witness, if you will. They want a witness when they do something good and something right and something virtuous. And what's interesting and amazing is that what our Father has always said in His Word is if you never have to ask Him to notice your obedience. You never have to. Jesus said a single cup of water. He reminds us of this. A single cup of water. That's 2/3 of our earth is water. It's everywhere. So anybody can do this. A single cup of water given to someone in His name, Jesus said, is seen. It's noted in eternity by God. Say, well, Pastor, that's encouraging. It is a blessing to know that God always sees and acknowledges the virtues of the efforts or the deeds of a child of God. It is encouraging. But can I just remind you that it's only really encouraging if you actually do the deed. It's only really encouraging if you actually do exhibit love to someone in 2022. Or you actually did pray that heartfelt or long prayer in secret. You really did take a stand when no one else knew you were going to. Your act of kindness or forgiveness or mercy or sacrifice or service, God sees it, beloved, but He only sees it if you do it. He only sees if you act out on it. O Lord God, Solomon said, hearken to my cry and my prayer. May your eyes be open toward this place both day and night. I'll say it again. Number one, He sees us when we're faithful. So you know what that tells me? Let's be more faithful. He wants to see us be more faithful. The second thing you'll consider, number two, He sees us when we're fearful. Verse 24, look at it. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse, be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee and shall return and confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from heavens. The heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again to the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. Now, wait a minute. Can I ask you something? Why does Solomon mention the people of God being, quote, put to the worse? I mean, he's dedicating the temple. All is well. There's peace and prosperity and safety and security. This is a glory. This is a glory. The cloud came down. What a moment. But now why does he mention the people of God being put to the worse, and by their enemies. Why at this joyous occasion, this victory celebration, with this cloud of God's glory, and the ark, and the musicians? Why here does Solomon bring up the nation's enemies? Well, it's very simple. That nation had enemies. God's people were hated in the world. And also, all that this work of God was going to do was simply make the nations hate them even more. You realize that the day this temple was dedicated with all of its magnificence, all those cedar beams and its gold and its glorious columns, you do realize and recognize that all of this brand spanking new billion-dollar edifice, that on that very day they're dedicating it, it already has an expiration date. Already. All of it was going to be destroyed, leveled to the ground by murderous invaders one day. So that Solomon simply acknowledged that God's eyes wide open, to keep in mind that God was watching this temple day and night and reminding us that when God's people are attacked or suffering or chastised, as he mentions in the text, and fearful, just as surely as he is over your shoulder when the building's dedicated, he's over our shoulder when the building's destroyed. Just as surely as he was there when things were amazing in 2021, he was there when things felt awful. And his eyes are there in 2021 and 2022. Let me ask you this. In light of this glorious dedication and this mountaintop, have you ever heard the name Jeremiah? What about Ezekiel? Zechariah? Nahum? Habakkuk? Zephaniah? And then there's Joel and Malachi, Daniel, Haggai. Do you realize that every single one of these men, all of these men and their prophecies are because before, during, and after the destruction of this very temple, God was watching. Every word of Jeremiah and every word of Ezekiel is a reminder that God had answered Solomon's prayer. Pastor, I wish that we had prophecies and promises and warnings like that. I wish we had assurances, some kind of direction before and after Pearl Harbor or 9/11 or whatever's going to happen in 2022. Well, the good news is, beloved, we do have that. We have exactly that. You realize that every prophecy and promise in this infallible book, God says, is written for our learning and our admonition, including the most oft-repeated command in all of the Bible, the words, "Fear not." So next time you're afraid and doubtful because you might lose your job or your house or because of a test result or some news headline, an attack by Satan. If you're texting someone, send this one, G-O-S, God over shoulder. Remember 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, it says this, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." Again, it's not just, oh, be careful of the lies which you see. God is waiting for you to mess up so he can squash you like a bug. Got off track. No, it says there that God's eyes are running to and fro so that he can show himself strong on the behalf of his people. KK and I do this all the time. Little Kaylin. She'll be doing something, and I'll do this. But she always goes back. But sometimes I do it when she's doing something really good, KK. But she never does that one back. I don't know why. In other words, God's eyes aren't just looking to see what you're up to. They're also going to look to see what you're up against. Both now, this year, and in the coming year. God is not just looking at you, beloved. He's also looking out for you. Psalm 33:18 says, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Why? To deliver his soul from death. What a great text. His eyes are upon you. 1 Peter 3:12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. I said, Pastor, I'm afraid. I'm really worried. I'm scared about something that's on the horizon in 2022. Maybe it's something you're in the midst of. All I can tell you is that you're in very, very good company, because every servant and prophet of God in the Bible was afraid at one point or another. In fact, the very reason why fear not is the most repeated command in Scripture is because everyone fears. Sometimes it's a preemptive fear not. Fear not, because I know you're going to be afraid. Zechariah 2:8 says, he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of God's eye. Over in Psalm 11, David asks a very powerful, timely question when he says this. Lord, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now look, we're looking around us all over the place. The foundations are being destroyed. They're being chipped away at, and they're being hammered at, and they're being bulldozed. Lord, if the foundations be destroyed, there are foundations of marriage in the home, Scripture, truth. What can the righteous do? It's a very good question. What are the righteous supposed to do when the foundation of faith and morals and society is being attacked, destroyed by the wicked? What do the righteous do? You may remember the answer. The very next verse in that psalm says, the Lord is in his holy temple, his eyes behold, and his eyelids try the children of men. That's the answer. So what does it tell us what to do? It tells us what's happening. His eyes behold, and his eyelids try. In other words, look, don't fret to the point of despair because of evildoers. God's eyes see everything, and his eyes are evaluating the wicked who bend their bow, that psalm says, to privily shoot at the upright in heart. They can try to privily shoot, that means privately, but God has already seen them. God is looking out for the righteous. And as we've said it before, what that means when it says his eyelids try the children of men, it means he's squinting, if you will. Rather like an angry father looking for a snake in the child's room. His eyes behold, but his eyelids try the children of men. I don't know what evil, I don't know what wickedness of men and women you're worried about today. I don't know what person or what outfit or what group is after you, or is seemingly prospering. But I know this, God sees it. I know that God knows all about it. And I know, because he's promised me, he's taking care of it. By the way, he's doing it in his own time. God's eyes see, and God's eyes are looking out in the behalf of his own. The only time in the Bible that God's eyes are described is in Revelation 1, verse 14, and then later Revelation 2, 18. And it says there that God's eyes are a flame of fire. You say, why fire? Because it judges. Jehovah El Rohi, the God who sees. Somehow for a servant woman who felt destitute and alone, it was enough in that place to know that God sees, that God witnesses her place. We said, number one, God sees us when we're faithful. We said, number two, God sees us when we're fearful. And he does, and he will. Number three, I want you to notice, he also sees when we're forgetful. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. There's a little phrase in Solomon's Prayer that's repeated over and over and over again. In verse 21, the last line says, even from heaven, when thou hearest, forgive. Well, first line of verse 25, then hear thou from heavens and forgive the sin of thy people. Verse 27, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servant. Verse 30, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place and forgive. It goes on in verse 35, verse 39, and other places. Say, Pastor, why? Why this repetition? Well, it's very simple. Every single one of these occasions follows a situation where God's people would forget his word. God's people would forget his promises and his warnings. And they would go off into a place of pleasure and foolishness. They forgot and then they fell. And then they sought forgiveness. And Solomon says, Lord, open your eyes in that place so that when you see it, hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people. And you know the Lord answered Solomon's prayer. He said, I've heard your supplication. Mine eyes and my heart will be with thee perpetually. In other words, God is always watching to forgive a truly repentant heart. Pastor, this has not been the best year of my life spiritually. I've been away from God. How long will it take me to get right with God? It will take you the moment that you repent and turn to Him. How long before I can get back in the will of God? Right now. This instant. You can't undo the things you've done in the past. Some of the wounds that you've caused, the scars will remain. But as far as getting in the will of God and being forgiven by God, that happens the moment. You know, I remember in Isaiah 49 reading it one day, and God asked this very powerful question. He said, can a mother forget her nursing child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Can she? Can a mother forget her nursing child that she would forget the son, the child of her womb? That's the question from God. Well, the answer to that question is, yeah, it can happen. I mean, it's rare, obviously, but the question is, can a mother do it? Well, actually, yes. And so God says in the next verse, yea, they may forget, but I will not forget you. He says that to his rebellious people. God always sees when we forget and testifies that he will not forget. The only question is, will you return to him? Will you go back? God, like the mother with a child, God will not forget. You know, last week I mentioned that I took the candle out of my mom's stocking because I needed it for an illustration. When I got home from church that morning, the stocking was thrown out in the hallway and was laying on the floor. She didn't forget. You know, many of you are good at being over the shoulder and looking. But our God who sees our every step is a very present help in time of trouble. And to that end, I want to remind us this morning of this, the close of one year, the beginning of a new year. Because our God and his eyes run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them. When Brother Steve prays a lot of times, the deacon, he quotes that verse in his prayer, show thyself strong. Because our God's eyes are always open. Can I remind you that that's the reason he deserves all of our trust and all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul. By this time next week, if Jesus tarries, and I pray he doesn't tarry, by this time next week, we will be in a new year, 2022. Just remember that he is Jehovah El Rohi, that he is the God who sees when we're fearful, when we're forgetful. This is the God who sees when you're faithful. What a year. What a year 2022 is going to be. I mentioned Wednesday night that 2022, if it's spelled out, is 2022. We hope not, right? But what a year it's going to be. What an amazing, glorious year. Why? Because God sees every step we take. And our God is faithful. Father, bless the invitation. Thank you for your people and your word mostly. Bless it to our hearts, Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. We could sing it every day of the year. But at the end of this long year, we can say truly you were faithful. I just ask, Father, that our faith in the coming year will be strong. That you already see, you already know what lies ahead, and we should trust you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.